Well, good morning, Bridgepoint. How you doing? It's good to see you. It's great to be back with you today. Thank you so much for coming and hanging out. I want to welcome our other campuses. Thank you for being where you are today. If you're watching us online, thank you for joining us and connecting with us. We want to help you because our goal is to help all people get closer to God. That's why we're here today. And I'm so grateful for the way that you're connecting and that you're and being involved. Thank you for backpacks and helping kids. Thank you for continuing to reach out into our world. Our world needs to know we care, right? It needs to know that the church is here, and the church needs to speak loudly into our culture today. So thank you for doing that. As we continue to navigate difficult times, we're reminded that God is above all. That's why we're here today. And as we wrap up this series in Hebrews, I really want to encourage you to take what you've experienced this summer and apply it. Don't just hear it. Don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers. Take it, apply it to your life. Because that's what this book is all about. It's about a group of people, not different than us, a group of people who were discovering what it meant to follow Jesus. And what it meant to not drift away from that, but to stay focused on that. Thank you for being with us all summer long. If you've missed any of the messages, I encourage you, go back and take a look at what we've discovered, what we've learned. Take some time yourself to read through the book of Hebrews. We were not able to exhaust all of the verses there. That would have been impossible. But we did take a good long look, and we're going to wrap that up today. And as we move into the fall, we're going to take it and we're going to apply it. It's hard to believe it's fall. Well, it's not really fall if you live in Florida. We don't have fall, right? We just go from hot to less hot to hot again, right? But we're coming to those months where we get to call all of our friends up north and ask them how cold it is, right? And that's why we live here, right? We live here so that we can experience basically October through April, and then we endure the rest of the time so that we can live for another October through April, right? That time is coming, and we're moving towards the fall. School has begun for many of you, and school is beginning for the rest of you this week. Thank you, teachers. As a matter of fact, if you are a teacher on any of our environments, would you stand up? If you are a teacher, stand up. Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. If nobody's told you, thank you. Thank you for what you do. I stand here today because of teachers. Mrs. Goodwin was my third grade teacher. I loved her. She wore go-go boots. We thought she was the coolest thing, but you know what she did? She taught me the value of learning. She taught me that learning is something that is a lifelong pursuit. Thank you for who you are. I want to pray for all of our teachers right now. Would you join me? God, I thank you for these people that are standing on all of our campuses, those who are listening to us online. Thank you for teachers. Thank you for administrators. Thank you for people who lead in our schools. Thank you for the way they give their lives and the impact they have on children, on young adults, on students. God, I pray that this year will be a year that full of growth, that it'll be a year where they get to make the impact that I know they desperately want. Our world needs teachers. And God, I'm grateful for these that have given their life in the call that you have on them. Bless them, lead them, be with them in all they do, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Once again, thanks, teachers, for who you are. Before we push into the last little bit of Hebrews, I want to have a conversation with you and share some thoughts with you. Did you know that 14 years ago this week, Bridgepoint became an idea? 14 years ago, on August 8th, I flew from Kentucky to Florida and met with three friends. And we talked about an idea for a church, an idea that maybe we could make a significant impact for the kingdom, and that our city, St. Petersburg, Pinellas County, was desperate for a church that was willing to speak a new language. Not a different story, but a story taught and shared in different ways, new ways. And the idea that maybe, just maybe, we could be a part of seeing kingdom change and kingdom impact happen in a city that was far from God. But maybe, just maybe, we could be a part of that. 14 years ago. Now, it took us a while to get going. It took us a lot of effort, a lot of energy. There's some amazing people sitting in this room that were a part of those initial statements, those initial moments. We gathered. I remember our very first gathering was in December of 2005. We called it a gathering. It was more or less a hopeful, we're going to open the door and maybe somebody will show up kind of thing. It happened at a hotel here in town, and 25 people showed up. And we thought, oh my goodness, 25 people. We spent about a year just gathering. There's some wonderful people. Miss Donna Nagelson sitting right here at the Tyrone campus. The Russells are sitting right down here. Amazing people who started to come and catch an idea. Just an idea. An idea that God could do something bigger than we ever thought or imagined. It was just an idea. And it took about a year or so of just gathering and connecting for us to be able to go public and kind of share people that we existed. I remember Miss Donna Nagelson came to me and said, what's it going to take for us to tell people we're meeting? And I said, well, Miss Donna, we need some resources to be able to kind of communicate to our city. She said, well, what do you need? And she made that happen, and we launched our church officially in 2007, but really began to meet regularly in 2006, and here we are 14 years later. Pretty amazing journey. There are a lot of people to thank. There are a lot of people to just you sit on the backs of many, many people today. You are here, wherever you are, you're listening, you're gathering, you're experiencing because of people. People like you. People who gave themselves. People who decided it was worth it. People decided that they were going to have faith and trust and belief. 14 years. Now, I have to admit that in 14 years, I've gotten tired. Now, it's for some of you, it's been very evident that I've gotten tired. Our elders, which are a wonderful group of people, have asked me for the last year or so to take a break, to take a what's called a sabbatical. What's a sabbatical? A sabbatical is where you take an extended time and you just rest and refocus and renew. I have accepted that sabbatical. I am going to be taking some time away. Not because I want to, but because I need to. 14 years ago, God began a journey in me that, to be honest, I haven't stopped. I haven't rested. And I'm tired. Not emotionally and spiritually, physically, but I'm just kind of tired internally. So I have accepted the offer from our elders to take some extended time away. I'm going to do four things during that time. Number one is I'm going to rest. I'm going to rest. Now, I know a lot of you work really hard, and you're saying, boy, I wish I could take a rest. I would recommend you try to figure out a way to do that. We all need rest. And when you do what we do, rest is hard to find. I shared with our elders a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, this is not something I do, this is something I am. And when you are, you can never turn it off. You ever felt that way, like you can't turn it off? It's kind of like being a parent. Even though you don't want to be sometimes, you can't turn it off, right? Kids, give your parents a break every now and then. They can't turn it off. They can't stop being your parent. Why? Because it's not what they do, it's who they are. They love you. And so it's hard to shut it down. And but the elders have graciously given me the opportunity to do that. So I'm going to rest. Number two, I'm going to study. I do not believe God is finished with what we're going to do here yet. I really believe that our best is next. I say that all the time. It's not a slogan. It's not a mantra. It is the truth. Our best is next. But in order for that to happen, we have to prepare ourselves. And so I'm going to be doing some study. I'm going to be looking at leadership. I'm going to be looking at the trends and the direction that a church needs to go. And I'm going to come back to you with a whole lot of energy, so get ready. Thirdly, I'm going to get ready to be a granddad. So my daughter Bailey is going to have a baby, and I have no idea what to do. I'm going to buy lots of candy. I'm going to, because this is what my granddad did, I'm going to get lots of $2 bills. For some reason, that's a granddad thing. And I'm going to baby-proof a house, and I'm going to get ready to experience what I think will be one of the greatest things in my life. And I'm grateful for that. And then, lastly, I'm going to... You guys know I have surgery. I've had surgery on my hands. I have a disease in my hands. I also have it in my feet. Y'all make fun of me because I wear tennis shoes. I do have a shoe problem. I will say that. But the reason why I wear tennis shoes is I have the same disease in my feet. So I'm going to have surgery on my feet, which means I can't stand for a while anyway. And so I'm going to do that this fall, and then I'm going to come back to you. Listen to me. I am not going anywhere. I am not. But after 14 years, God has made it absolutely abundantly clear to me that I need to break. And that I need to discover whatever it is next that God has for us. And then we need to move towards that. We have a lot of people we have to reach. We have campuses we have to plant. We have a city we have to impact. We have a world we have to reach. And we're going to do that. Right now, there are people right now watching me from the Philippines. We're committed to you. We're going to start a church in the Philippines. And you're going to be a part of something great there. We have people that are watching us in Africa right now. People that have been following some of our leadership models. We're committed to seeing what God has for that. And to carry that to the next step. We have campuses that are beginning. We have people that we've not yet reached. We have parts of our city that are still far from God, and no church like ours exists in them. We're going there. But in order to get there, we have to prepare ourselves. And I, as your leader, need to prepare myself. I am not leaving. I am not. I will be back. And I will see what God is going to do. Here's what's going to happen in the meantime. You have an amazing group of people here as your staff. They're going to lead you. And they're going to lead you well. This is not about me. This is about God. And this is about a mission and a vision that God has called us to. So here's what I want you to do. Remain faithful. Not faithful to who stands on this stage. Not faithful to who sings or who leads or who calls themselves the leader in your part of this organization. Don't stay faithful to them. Stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to a mission and a purpose. And then regardless of who stands in front of you, you'll move forward. Stay faithful. Trust. Believe. It's amazing how God does things. Because none of this was on my radar. And as we were preparing Hebrews and began to read through it, it's amazing how God brought us to today and the conclusion of this series with what I'm sharing with you. See, none of this is a surprise to God. Did you know that? He's not surprised by what is happening in our world today. He's not surprised by the struggles that we are going through. He's not surprised by the good things, the bad things, the things in the middle. God is not surprised. Why? Because he is above it all. And this whole idea of God being above all, it comes to a conclusion in these amazing two chapters and these amazing things that he's saying in very simple ways. And if I was going to leave you for a while, which I am, I would want to leave you with this message. Because I'm leaving you for a while, I want to leave you with this thought. And this is what the writer in Hebrews is leading the people to. Here's what he's saying. Keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. It's not about people. It's about Jesus. And then because it's about Jesus, it becomes all about people and helping them to know him. If I was going to leave you with one thought for just a little while, I want to leave you with this thought. Keep your focus on Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 11, and if you've got your Bibles, turn there, because we're going to hang out in 11 and 12 today as we conclude. And in Hebrews chapter 11, he gives them this incredible roll call. It's the faith chapter. It's the roll call of faith in chapter 11. And here's what he's doing. He's calling the people to stay focused. He's calling the people. Remember, they were struggling with drifting. We do that. We drift. We kind of lean away and we get distracted. We lose our attentiveness to what God wants to do in our lives. And that's what's happening to these people. And so he reminds them of the faith behind them. He reminds them of the Donna Nagelsons and the Russells. And he reminds them of the people. I want to remind you of the people who have gone before you. I want to remind you of the cost. I'm grateful today for my family. Because when we made a decision 14 years ago to start a church, they had to be a part of that too. I'm grateful for children who gave up everything. Friends, stability. They gave up the things that you would normally get at that time in their lives, and they gave themselves to a mission. I'm grateful for a wife who said, wherever you go, I'm going. Wherever you lead, I'll lead. Whatever you do, I'll do. You see, in chapter 11, the writer is doing that same type of thing. He's reminding them. And he begins the chapter by saying this. Now, faith, because he's fixing to talk to them about faith. He says, faith is confidence in what we hope for. What are your hopes today? What do you hope for? Now, I'm not talking about, five numbers and a red number. Although, not for, a new car or a bigger house or a raise or the corner office or that person that you see across the room and you'd like to get to know them. Not that. What do you really hope for? When you look at your children, what do you hope for? When you look at our world, what do you hope for? See, 14 years ago, the reason why we gathered and prayed, and we literally knelt on the floor and we said, are we going to be obedient to what God has placed in front of us? The hope that we have for a city. The hope we have for people. What do you hope for? He said, hope comes through faith. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, being confident, believing, and it's assurance about what we do not see, even though we can't see it. 14 years ago, we knelt, and I got to tell you, we had some vision of what it would look like, but it doesn't look anything like that. Because it wasn't about what we could see, it was about what we could not see. But it was about putting our faith and trust in the one who could see it for us. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, let me remind you of what you're focusing in on. What you're putting your faith in. You're putting your faith in hope, being assured that God can see what you cannot see. He can do what you cannot do. And when it's scary and you don't understand, lean in. Trust. Believe. Act as if. And then he gives them this roll call. He kind of lists people like Abraham, people like Jacob, people like Joseph and David, Moses. He lists these people. And if you don't know who those people are, go back and read some of their stories. Amazing picture of faith. He reminds these people, these Hebrew people, these Christ followers who were drifting and all of a sudden getting fearful and worried and anxious. He's reminding them of the faith that has gone before them. And he's saying, in their faith and in the fuel that it will give you, turn around and step into it, whether you see it or not. Trust, believe, stay focused on Jesus. That's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to do. There's this great passage in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11. It says, love the Lord your God and keep his requirements. Now that sounds a little bit demanding, doesn't it? Requirements. We don't like that, right? But you need to understand that God can see what you cannot see. He knows what you do not know. He can do what you cannot do. And to get to where he wants you to be, there are certain things you have to do. Right, teachers? It's not demanding. It's just true. He says, love the Lord your God and keep that which is true, his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Not when it feels good, not when you like it, not when it just fits your agenda, but always. He goes on and says, remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God. Understand that you haven't seen everything and your children haven't. They don't understand. So you got to tell them, listen, you don't understand the cost. You don't understand 14 years ago this didn't exist. You don't understand, so you need to be reminded of the story and the faith and the people that made it happen. He says, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arms, the signs he performed and the things he did. I could stand here until this time next week and tell you story after story after story of God's provision. When it seemed like there was no way, he made a way. And that's what he's reminding them of. Your children don't know that. They don't know his provision. They don't know his mighty hand. They don't know what he's done. He goes on, but it was your own eyes that saw all these things, these great things the Lord has done. He's reminding them. He says, you've seen God at work. You see God at work all around you. Listen to me. Our city has changed because of a church that was willing to do what nobody else was willing to do. You've seen it. And in that vision, in what you've seen, not only share it, but live in it, flesh it out, stay focused on it. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. See, he's reminding them, you have to be faithful. The writer in Hebrews is saying, don't give up, don't give in, don't fall back, don't lean away, don't drift. He goes on, be careful or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. We have a problem with that in our world today. We've sacrificed the permanent on the altar of the immediate. We've turned away from that which we should stay focused on, and we've put our attention on all these temporary things that are not going to last. The writer goes on and says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and your minds. tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Make them so much a part of who you are. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Carefully observe all these commands that I'm giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, and to hold fast to Him. We need to know the story, and we need to share that story, because our world desperately needs His story to be a part of their story. If God is truly going to be above all things, if He's truly going to be the God that we say we desire for Him to be, that we sing about, then we have to stay focused. We have to stay faithful. We have to stay fixed on Jesus. We have to. Otherwise, we'll drift away. I was thinking about what it meant to stay focused and faithful and fixed on Jesus. And I just wrote some things down, some thoughts, some ideas. And some of them came from some songs, some music that I had recently heard. And there was a song and then some other thoughts. So here's what I think it means to stay focused, to stay faithful, to stay fixed on Jesus. And here's what I want you to do. Live and love like you aren't scared. Live and love like you're not afraid. Don't be afraid. Give, even when it's not easy, and even when it's not fair. Did you know life's not fair? It's not. But when we give in spite of that, then we understand what giving is all about. Live and love for other people, not just yourself, but for others. Fight for those who cannot fight for themselves. We need to fight for our world today, guys. We're in the fight of our lives right now, and we need to fight. So you say, but what? How do I know what to fight for? Fight for this. Stand on the truth. Don't compromise. Don't settle. Fight. Fight for faith. Fight for the truth. Stand up while everybody else is sitting. And sit when everybody else is standing. You're supposed to be a different people, not weird. Let me remind you once again, some of you are really weird. The world doesn't need weird Christians. The world needs different people. People who not only say they believe, but act like it. Stand up while everybody's sitting. Lean in. Speak out. It is time for you to take the muzzle off and start sharing who Christ is. Lean in when you don't understand, when it doesn't make sense. Lean in. Lean not on your own understanding, but in everything you do, acknowledge Him. And you know what He'll do? He'll straighten everything out. Lean in. Speak out. And then lastly, to stay focused, to stay faithful, to stay fixed on Jesus, you got to do whatever it takes. Let me ask you a question. Seriously, inside your own core, inside of your own life, ask yourself, are you willing to do whatever it takes? What is God asking you to do that doesn't make sense to you? And because it doesn't make sense, you've been unwilling to do it. See, faith is hope, potential. Faith is when you can't see, but you step anyway. What is God asking you to have faith in? Do whatever it takes. I love this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, so we fix, Scripture keeps using that phrase, fix. In Deuteronomy, it says, fix your thoughts and your mind. Here it says, fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Listen to me, this is not it. I'm going to be taking a break, but I'm still going to be doing some amazing things. And I mean, I've got weddings I'm doing this fall. I'm doing a funeral for a dear member of our church this week. And we talked a lot about this eternal stuff. I stood with the family last Sunday night. I stood with them as they blessed their father right before he passed. And I reminded them that this isn't it. This ain't over. It ain't over, guys. It isn't over. Because what we fix our eyes on is eternal, not these temporary moments here. Remember this passage from Hebrews 3 that we looked at? It says, fix your thoughts. There it is. There's words again. Not only do we fix our eyes, we fix our thoughts on Jesus. Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. In other words, Jesus is above it all. So if we fix our eyes on Jesus and Jesus sees what we don't see, then we're exercising faith. We have to fix our thoughts. See, our thoughts are part of our problem. See, remember, I think his name was Thomas the Train or something like that. I think I can. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you won't. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Because you need to know this big idea. Controlling our thoughts is one of the hardest battles we'll ever fight. But you've got to be willing to fight. So how do you fix your thoughts? Let me give you a quick little thing. And this will be available online and you can look at it. But I'm going to quickly show you some things that you need to focus on. And one thing that you don't need to focus on. First of all, do not focus on the negative things of the world. If you do, you'll be exhausted and you won't do anything. Focus on who you are in Jesus. Not who you are in yourself, not who you are in the world, but who you are in Jesus. Focus on the fact that Jesus will complete his work in you. He's not finished with you yet. Focus on the fact that Satan has no control over you, no dominion over you, none. Focus on the call Jesus has for your life. Teachers, you're called. Doctors, you're called. Police officers, first responders, you're called. It's not just those people who stand on a stage in churches. He calls all of us. Moms, dads, you're called to that. God calls you, and if God calls you, he equips you. Focus on becoming all he desires you to be in him. Everything he desires you to be. Focus on the truth he wants to reveal to you. Focus on what he wants to do through you. What he wants to do through you. Three very important words that you need to focus in on. In, for, and through. God wants to do something in you. And some of you have been resistant to that. You got a pride problem. Because you think that what's in you that's you is good enough. God has so much more he wants to do in you. He wants to do for you. That which you cannot do for yourself. And then he wants to do something through us for people who cannot do for themselves. In, for, and through. That's what it means to stay focused. That's what it means to have faith. That's what it means to be the church. And the writer in Hebrews chapter 11 is giving them this list of these amazing people who have done that. And he said, in the picture that I'm painting for you, turn around and step into what's next and believe that God has it and believe that God has you and believe that God wants to do something in you, for you, through you. And then in chapter 12, he says these words, therefore, because of that, not forgetting that, knowing that, since we are all surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Dump it. Get rid of the change. Get rid of the garbage. Get rid of the can'ts. Throw it all away. Everything that hinders you and the sin that so easily entangles you. Get rid of all of that and let us run. Run with perseverance. The race marked for us. We've been running hard for 14 years. And now I'm just going to catch my breath and run harder. Run towards the prize, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the beginner, the one who plowed the ground, the author and perfecter of your faith. The author, the perfecter of your faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Fix your thoughts on him. Focus on him. Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Keep your focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Three big ideas as I close today. Our faith is in Jesus, focused on him, fixed in him. It's not when we just kind of get around him. See, some of you are thinking, well, I just get around Jesus, everything will be all right. No. Get in him and let him get in you. Fix yourself in him. Nothing can separate us from God's promises. It's what the writer in Hebrews has been doing. He's taking them back. Look at how all this stuff has happened. And he takes them back to the story. To the story of what God's done. Stay in the story. And let God write a brand new chapter. Nothing can separate us from that story. Nothing can separate us from God's promises. Nothing can separate us from Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. I was thinking about how to wrap up today. And, I think you guys knew I grew up in traditional church. My dad was a music pastor, and so hymns were an important part of my life. And by the way, some of you get all bent out of shape when we start talking about hymns and ask, why don't we sing hymns? We are. The songs we sing today will be hymns tomorrow. The songs that were our hymns today were choruses just a little while before that. Hang with us. You'll have a new hymn book one day. But one of the great hymns was written by a woman named Helen Haworth Limmel in 1918. She met with a missionary friend named Isabella Trotter. And Isabella had a little pamphlet that she handed her friend about her ministry. And it sparked this song. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting he passed. And we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion. For more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray together. Don, 14 years ago, you sparked a little bit of light in an otherwise dark city, far from you. And you said, I have a story to tell. And in order for it to happen, people have to be faithful. And they were. And now we have new chapters to write. We have new experiences to learn. We have new steps to take. But none of it matters if we don't fix our eyes on Jesus. So, Father, today, would you penetrate our hearts? Would you transform our minds? Would you renew our spirits? Would you lead us towards that next you have for us? Would you help us to fix our eyes, our focus, our thoughts, our minds, our hearts on Jesus? Today, I want to invite you, wherever you are, right now, if you're watching, if you're listening in the rooms, would you just turn to Jesus? Would you just focus on Jesus right now? You say, Tim, I'm having a hard time doing that. Then just say his name. Jesus. 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 Fix your eyes, your thoughts on him. Father, I thank you for a church that isn't about who stands on a stage or who doesn't. But it's about Jesus. Do something in us. Do something for us. Do something through us. It's all about Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.